Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Waiting on Mark Holmes. Hey, guys, just so you know, Mark Holmes, his pop passed away, and hopefully we're going to be able, he's with his mom now. So I'm still going to kick his ass with his Cowboys. Hey, Mixon was traded for a seventh. Woo! Hey, Cowboy Nation, here you go, baby. Winning the offseason. I don't even know who Joe Mixon. I thought he was a running back with the Texans. I don't even know who this guy, anyway. So wait, I've got it now as we bring in Philly 500 here. I want to know if Philly 500 has the emotional intelligence to be able
not according to my wife.
Hey, emotional intelligence, Jeffrey Lurie said. I thought I heard it all after that one when he was describing Nick Sirianni.
Not according to my wife. The champ has dead emotional intelligence, according to my wife. So, yeah, you know. Who the hell knows? But the champ is here. The champ is here. We're champions of the world, baby.
Absolutely.
Where's Mark Holmes? Where's
better get his butt in here, man. Hey, by the way, Tush Bush stuff. Here, let me give this to you. Let me, being an ex-NFL guy, this is so unbecoming. I mean, any guy who's ever laced it up, and if you're an Eagle fan, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about Tush Bush shit? No, I'll ask you, do you think the Philadelphia Eagles could have won the Super Bowl a year ago if they don't have that play?
Yes. Yes. They're going to win it anyways. Yeah. Barkley might have broke the touchdown record, though. I'll say that. I mean, how many times did we have the ball at the one-yard line? So if you don't have the tush push and you're not doing a quarterback sneak, Barkley's scoring a lot of touchdowns. But, no, the tush push is not why we won the Super Bowl.
Don't you agree? Instead of maybe winning 14 games, you win 12. But I still think you win it.
I don't think we lose any more.
Some games. Of those close games, drives were extended because of that play.
But I think that the Eagles could have done, and this is just my opinion. I think they could have done a quarterback sneak just as effectively. I really truly do. I think the quarterback sneak would have worked just as well with Hurts, you know, and. I don't know. I think the whole thing is really pathetic, though. I will say that.
You think? I mean, talking about it. And by the way, what I loved about Jeffrey Lurie was that he said it right. I mean, could be dangerous with no intel. Don't you agree that this thing comes down to the NFL doesn't want that play on the television screens, and potentially they could come back because of CTE conversations down the road where players could bring that play up with the brain trauma. I mean, other than that, they're making this shit up right now about trying to stop that play. Are they not?
No, they definitely are. And what's sad is the NFL and the commissioner, they don't want it. But then you get these teams that look like babies. They look like they're frustrated. They can't stop it. And they want it out because they think it helps the Eagles and not them. The fact that you had a vote, you were supposed to have a vote and you didn't have the votes and then you canceled having the vote. So because you didn't want to lose, that tells you that they're going to find a way to ban it one way or the other. And to me, that's what's pathetic.
You know? They're going to ban the next meeting in May. They will ban that thing because they'll get the addition. You know how they're going to do it? They're going to frighten the other 8 owners by saying this is going to come down to player safety and CTE claims that players will make, and that they're not going to get it, that the play's not aesthetic enough on TV. But what they're going to do is they're just going to scare the other 8 owners. And what I don't like about it is that the commissioner's the Pied Piper on this.
Right.
I mean, you've got the number one guy that's involved spearheading this. Right. And it's the commissioner of the league fighting against the Eagles, which I think he should absolve himself from. I mean, how are you sitting here doing that, going against one of the owners of the league because you're afraid potentially down the line 20 years from now, somebody could file charges? I don't get it.
No, it's pathetic. The whole thing's pathetic. And, you know, I just keep thinking about Saquon Barkley in that Green Bay game where he takes a knee and slides, right? He didn't want to rub it in. He wanted to be classy. Nah, you run that shit up their ass next time, all right? The hell with that bunch of babies. Did nothing. I have no respect for that team. Like, I think a lot of these teams aren't thinking about what the commissioners think about. They're thinking about, we can't stop it. We don't like that they do it so well, and we can't. I mean, what about the Buffalo Bills, right? You have their head coach come out and say, he doesn't like to play. He wants it banned. He does it second most to us. He fails three times in the AFC Championship game, and now he don't like to play. If he's so morally worried about their injured, why does he run it on his team? He doesn't have to run the play on his team, but he does. So they're all full of crap. I think this is a case where you got the league going up against one team. That's
absolutely. How about this right here? The Arizona Cardinals are making tight end Trey McBride the highest paid tight end in the National Football League's history with a 4-year, $76 million deal per the agents. Now we have to wait until the deal comes out. I'll ask you, is Dallas Goedert good as gone?
Fine. He's gone. I don't think.
That's a $20 million a year deal just about.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think he's staying. And I felt like that, especially after the owners' meetings. But I think it's a mistake, Sills. I think it's a mistake unless he's planning to hold out. I don't understand this idea where we have to create these holes that aren't on your team. And now you're going to create a giant hole at tight end. Okay, you could draft somebody, but you tell me a second, third round tight end is going to come in and be ready to play? I don't know.
I don't think it's that deep a position. So let me throw this at you, Mark Holmes. We hope that he's able to catch up. He's with his mom right now. His pop passed away, so
yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm not going to kick his ass over the non movement of the Dallas Cowboys here. Don't kid yourself here, but I'll ask Philly this here. So Darius Slay had 14 tackles in the postseason. Gardner Johnson had 14. Owen Burks had 25 in a sack. Sweat had 13 and 2.5 sacks. Milton Williams had 10 tackles and 2 sacks. Isaiah Rogers had 10 tackles. These six players accounted for 76 tackles, 6 sacks, and 8 TFLs. Do you currently believe right now on your team, do you believe the current roster of Eagles makes this team as talented as that 2024 roster when you've got over 80 tackles just in 4 playoff NFL games, 80 tackles and nearly 6 sacks gone? You don't.
No, they're not as talented right now as talented or as deep as they were a year ago. That's the deepest team I've ever seen by the Eagles. However, my thing is this. This was all going to have to happen. This has to happen in order to be able to be good years down the road. So I really look at it like there was an emergence of some guys that contributed, especially in the playoffs, that I think you got to trust the whole process of development, and you've got to give them a chance to play. But no, we're not as talented right now.
You know, Xander told me a little bit what I guess Nick was at a Phillies game. And Nick said that he was asked a question by John Clark from NBC Philadelphia. And he was like, hey, all these replacements, I'm paraphrasing here. I'm going to be all over Howie in replacing these guys, which would lead you to believe he doesn't believe that he has the guys right now that are in. I think those guys are going to get all opportunities. But when he spoke to John Clark, now it could have been just, again, because it's at a game, what have you. I think you got to get more context in it when it's in a reporter type environment when he's sitting there behind the mic instead of sitting in the seats, down at the ballpark. But to me, he doesn't seem to think right now that he has the players in there yet. Or if you want to go one further, he has a lot of question marks on what they have in the building right now.
I mean, I think there's definitely some question marks. I think from my perspective, okay, I think that the defensive line is better off than people think. I really do. But I think you've got a problem at safety. I think you've created a giant gargantuan hole at safety. I think you've got depth issues at linebacker, and you've got another corner that you just don't know what you have. So those are three areas that concern me more than the defensive line going into the draft right now. So he could be saying, speaking about certain positions. And then if you trade Dallas Goedert or cut him, then now you have a position at tight end that you have to fill. So, I think there are definitely some holes that you got to be concerned about.
How about this, Philly? Nick Sirianni's contract is up, and there's no question he's had success. But let's go further in how you and I see Howie and the...
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ownership.
Okay.
Right now, currently, the highest paid guys in the league, Andy Reid makes $20 million. Sean Payton makes $18 million. Mike Tomlin makes $16 million. McVay makes $16 million. Jim Harbaugh makes 16, Sean McVay makes 15, and Kyle Shanahan makes $14 million. Andy's a play caller. Peyton's a play caller. It's Tomlin's room. It's Jim Harbaugh's room. He's a play caller. Sean McVay's a play caller. Kyle Shanahan's a play caller. Do you believe that the Philadelphia Eagles look at Nick Sirianni to make him the highest paid head coach in the league and look at him and say, he is the most important person to the process of what we're doing here and how we're winning games, that we're going to make him the highest paid coach in pro football? Because how they pay him is how they see him. Do you not agree?
Kind of. I think that they will make him the highest paid coach, but I don't think that they think he's most important thing.
So you're going to pay him more than Howie?
I'm just telling you what.
You're going to pay him more than Howie?
Than Howie Roseman?
Howie makes $6 million. Highest paid GM is making $7.5 million, Nick Caserio, in Houston.
What's the highest coach make?
20, Andy Reid.
Yeah, I think he's going to be up there.
But here's the difference. Andy's building that KC culture. Sean Payton's building that Bronco culture back up.
I get it. Nick was part of the culture that they've built there? Of course he is. And the Eagles think the same thing. The Eagles think that the culture is the most important thing. But paying Nick the most money in the league is, to me, it's justification. It's Jeffrey Lurie's way of saying, see, I was right letting Doug Peterson go. I was right. We did the right thing and brought the right coach in. By paying him more,
But that's more about his decision making instead of it being right with Nick. Because let me say this to you. How come I hear this all the time? How come I hear this? You believe, and even you said it, you believe that Vic Fangio and you believe in Vic retooling the defense. I don't hear anybody going, hey, I believe in Nick helping the defense get better. Or the number one running attack in the history of the National Football League, Everyone believes in Jeff Stoutland and what he'll do with the right guard position and how they've been able to run the ball. Nobody in their mind would ever think that Nick was the most important coach in the building last year to the Super Bowl run when Vic Fangio and Jeff Stoutland were in the building.
I agree. I agree with you. But the way it's going to play out is he's going to be one of the highest paid coaches. Look, what are you going to say to him? If you're Nick Sirianni, what are you saying?
I'm saying they're going to put him at 16. They're going to pay him around, I think they're going to pay him 3 years, $50 million.
Okay, and what would that put him in terms of the top coaches?
17 and a half. It put him third.
I'll say that he's going to be top three, top two.
He'll be making more than Tomlin.
But here's the thing. I think the way the Eagles think, I think by paying him all that money and saying he's the winningest, you know, the fastest winning coach and great best record to start as head coach, that's justification that their whole system works, that the what they do is working. And I think that's why they're going to pay him. And look, yeah, Nick doesn't call plays and things like that. But, you know, whatever, dude, these guys play for him. And they like playing for him. You know, I don't know what to say. But if the Eagles don't make him at least the top three highest paid coach, I'd be shocked.
They're going to pay him for his emotional intelligence. That's what they're going to pay him for. Okay. All right.
They're going to pay him for it. But they're going to pay themselves.
They're going to pay him.
You understand? They're going to take the lap and say, look at our smart decision. We have the second highest paid coach in the league.
So they're going to pay him $21 million a year because they want to look right.
What's $21 million? This guy wipes his nose with $21 million.
That means he's going to be making more, three times the money that Howie makes.
Look, you tell me really, in all honesty, what coach is more deserving than him?
Vic Fangio and Jeff Stoutland.
But they're not head coaches. What head coach right now to you is done a better job the last 3 years?
Who's been the one coach since 2017 that has been the one consummate to the offensive line and how that team is built and the identity?
I agree with you.
It's been Jeff Stoutland, not Nick Sirianni.
And I'm sure they pay him a lot. I don't know what he's paying, but I would assume he's making a lot of money to stay with the Eagles through what, three coaches?
Three coaches.
That's right. So he's getting
a beautiful
crazy
gift from Chip.
Yeah, it is. There's no question about it. But I'm telling you, this guy's going to make a lot of money. You're going to be shocked.
I am going to be because
I do think it's a way that they look at it and they say to themselves, "See, we were right. We were right to let Doug Peterson go."
So they're paying perception. You think they're going to pay perception money?
I think that's part of it. I'm not saying the whole thing, but I think it's justification to why they let Doug Peterson go. They won a Super Bowl. The guy went to two Super Bowls. Now Howie's the most important part of this. I mean, let's be honest. But
so Howie gets $7 million and Nick gets 20.
You can't lose Howie.
And that perception is going to be that Nick was more important than
Listen,
Howie.
I'm ready to get Howie part ownership here. I can't go.
I love that take, man. All right. Hopefully we catch up with Mark. God bless the guy, man. Give him all the time he needs here. Let me throw this at you here. Couple questions heading. I just did this with Xander, and I'll do it with you. Couple questions heading into the draft here. Will the Eagles trade the 32nd pick, in your opinion?
100%. 100%. It's happening. There's no way this team's staying at 32. The question is which way they go.
That's right. Okay. What position will the Eagles take at number 32? Will they go biggest need or best player? And what I mean by that is this. You may have a need at edge, but if he's the sixth best edge,
right,
versus the second best tackle down at 32, if you don't trade out or up, how do you think they'll handle that pick?
I think they're going to go best player available. And I think and I think the way it's going to play out, if my calculations of the cornbread is right, it's going to be a position of need. It's just going to be so happen that it ends up being a position of need.
How high would the Eagles be willing to trade up in the draft? How high do you think if they were going to go somewhere to get a player that they may like? How high? Remember, you're going to have to give up assets to move up like that. You got a lot of picks next year with comp picks coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
How high would you be willing to see them move up?
I'd say like 22, 23, somewhere around there. I think that's where they go. I don't think they have a problem paying the assets. I mean, they have traded up how many times over the last several years? They've got plenty of picks to do it. So if you get, well, I got to look at the draft compensation thing, but I think it's like, I think in the late first, it's like third round is 10 picks or 10 spots. So if you give a third, your first, the third, and then let's say you throw in a fourth next year or something next year, even a third. Yeah, I think you could get up there. And matter of fact, that's what I think they're going to do.
Okay, here's another one. Will the Eagles trade the number one pick, pick 32, for a current player like they did with A.J. Brown? And would there be somebody that maybe at a D-tackle position or a edge position? Could you see them trading number 32? Just like they did. I think if I'm not mistaken, help me out here. Somebody. A.J.'s pick was like the 20th pick?
I think 18. 17 18, or 18.
Like that, yeah. I thought somewhere it was somewhere around. In there.
Yeah.
So could you see them moving that pick for an established player?
You know, I mean, they've done it before. I mean, Jason Peters back in the day, they traded a first-round pick for him. But every time they've traded a first-round pick that I can remember for a player, they already had enough. They had two ones. So they drafted one and then traded one. Will they trade one this year? I don't know. I mean, I can't think of any players that's available. What, Trevon Walker? My thinking on him has changed, to be honest with you. I would not trade for him, but about a month ago, I would have. Once Myles Garrett got paid, that threw that out the window.
All right. How will the draft impact Jordan Davis's contract extension? If they take a DT, is he all but gone?
Yeah, I think if they take a defensive tackle
in the first two rounds?
No, I think in the first round. I think if they take, like, let's say Walter Nolan in the first round, I think that tells you that Davis is here, his days are numbered. His days are numbered. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I honestly got a different take than many on the defensive line. I think Davis, the key with Davis is extend him now. You get him at a disc, you probably could get him cheap. You probably could get a good bargain for him right now. So maybe they could extend him and get him at a discount. And then I would sit there and I think Ojomo is developing at the same pace Milton Williams was developing in during his time with the Eagles. Let him continue to develop. I would much rather get a mid-round defensive tackle that could come in and develop like they did with Milton Williams and somebody like that. Because this draft is deep at defensive line.
Tell me if you subscribe to what this is my plan down there, and especially with Jordan Davis. I'm not paying that guy $18 million or $15 million and paying $42 million and having $58 to $60 million tied up in two tackles. One guy is spectacular. The other guy is okay. He's never been productive in college. Okay. Now, here's the one thing I would do, though. I would pick that fifth-year option up, which would give me a two additional years. You give me 2 years. Now, follow me here. $12 million? I'm okay with that with Jordan Davis. Okay? $18 million on a three-year contract with money up front? I'm not. So this is what you would get. And that deal doesn't hit until after 26. So I would get this. I would have draft Walter Nolan. I think he's more apt to play the three technique and play out in a five technique than what Mauro Ajomo is. I want to move Mauro Ajomo, and I talked to this with Clint Hurt. I think he's more apt to play inside, like around the nose. And I think him in that role of being the swing tackle. Look at what you would get here. You would get three players, first-round players, on rookie contracts for the next 2 to 3 years, knowing full well next year in the offseason you got to play Jalen Carter. You would be cost-efficient with all that assets. And hypothetically, if Jordan Davis pans out, then you're talking about having to pay another guy. That's rich man problems, as Xander likes to say. So right. You would have all those young players and create depth with Mauro Ajomo by putting him in a role he was really good at a year ago. So you have Walter Nolan, you have Jalen Carter, you have Jordan Davis, and again, like you said, you get an edge in two, maybe this Jack Sawyer guy, and Nolan Smith. You've got all these guys playing outside for you, and they're all on rookie deals, cost effective. Because one thing has been effective, one thing has been a certainty. Don't you agree? Money's been a factor here in how they do business.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's absolutely.
It's not that they don't have it, but they're being judicious on how they spread it around.
It's a new problem because they've been so good in the draft. They've got all these contracts coming up. They've got to be ready to take care of. I totally get it. And I don't dislike your idea, actually, because I really like Walter Nolan. I think my approach would be slightly different at a different position. I would draft another defensive tackle and thinking I could develop him like Milt Williams. I think the most likely scenario for Jordan Davis is that you pick up his contract and you give him 2 more years. But I want to draft a safety. Look, I look at Malachi Starks.
How high do you want to draft?
I want to trade up and get him. I want to go up and get him. Because the way I see it is if you go out and get, let's say, in the first round, I want to go get him in the first. Because I need a guy to play right now. Listen, if I look at this secondary and I got Quinyon Mitchell, I got Cooper DeJean, you got Reed Blankenship, whose contract they're going to want to extend him. So if I could get a safety in there, a talented safety that is as athletic as those guys, and then he's on a rookie deal. Now I'm free to sign Reed Blankenship to an extension. Mm-hmm. I've pretty much got my secondary, but one spot that we don't know about yet, set up for years to come. And then you talk about a guy like Christian Parker, who's here with the Eagles, who's developed secondary guys like crazy. If I could go get myself an athletic guy, like I prefer Nick Amon-Woori, right? If I could get him and get a guy like an athletic freak to go along with Coop, to go along with Q, my secondary is pretty much set for the next 5 to 8 years. And I can also, you know, with my defensive line, I think you got enough young guys that have developed good that I think we should trust that process. But, I mean, this is if, you know, this only happens if, you know, everybody's close to, you know, talent levels of each other. Like, I'm not taking a safety if I have a defensive edge rusher that's way ranked way higher than the safety. You know what I'm saying? So it has to fit talent wise. But I'm telling you, you've got a big problem at safety. I don't trust what they have at safety. If I could get myself a rookie safety that plays and starts, and like Coop and like Q did this year, and then I'm free to go pay Reed Blankenship, I'm doing it.
Would you sign Justin Simmons for a year?
Preferably not. Preferably not.
If you're not happy there, wouldn't you want to have some experience back there?
Yeah, you might want to. I just keep thinking about Kevin Byard.
I know, yeah.
Like, I just don't want this guy who's at the end of his career to come in and be a problem when you've had so much success developing these young guys. Let's trust the coach. Let's go out and get the talent, stick them in there, and play them. Just like you did with the other two guys. It's worked so far.
All right. We let Mark Holmes off the hook. So we got a couple last ones here for Philly 500. Rest in peace to Mark Holmes' dad. We we send love out to him. We'll catch him next week. And also, I will say this to you first before I go on here. Dude, what are the Cowboys doing? I mean, this stupid move. You know what I had somebody ask me earlier? Stills, how does this move for the quarterback affect Dak Prescott? I'm like, who are you talking about? Joe Milton the third? I know. And how does Joe Milton, if Joe Milton affects, that would be like telling me that the Eagles quarterback that they just got from the Cleveland Browns, that guy is going to affect Jalen Hurts' status. I mean, what are we talking about here? I don't know. He's going to step down after this year, by the way, just so you know.
Is he really? Is that truthful? Yeah.
Truthful.
I don't like that. I want him to stay forever. Guy's got another 100 years, I figured, you know. But, I mean, to me, Dallas is the one team that I scratch my head. I look at them and I go, okay, where am I scared of Dallas at this year? Am I scared offensively? Does their running game scare me? No. Does their passing game scare me? No. Their offensive line isn't as good. Okay, they picked up a bunch of guys. You know, talking about going cheap, right? The Eagles have a plan in place because of young talent.
It's a
Dallas,
plan.
They're signing guys who are former first-round picks that never lived up to the contract. They're trying to go cheap. I don't know. I just got this feeling like in some weird way, they're trying to sabotage Dak Prescott.
Listen,
on purpose.
You bring a great point up, and there's a difference in how the Eagles are signing these former ones versus the Cowboys. Here's what the Eagles are doing. They're signing those guys for one reason. It's an old Jimmy Johnson philosophy. If you got a lot of young players on the team, what you want them to do is beat these guys out. So you'll know, because you have so much faith in your young talent, that they will win. They want Kelee Ringo to beat Jackson. They
exactly. And that's why it was a Dory Jackson they brought in. They want somebody they feel he could beat.
And you get that? They want to create competition with all these people for their young players. Here's Dallas. Dallas is signing those players to stop the dam from leaking. Right. Those guys are being brought in to win games. What the Eagles are doing by bringing these guys in, they're trying to player development at the same time with winning and elevate their younger players. There's a way different philosophy in Philadelphia than compared to Dallas. Dallas is just thinking they're going to try to plug and play.
Now, listen, I got a question.
Buying into their younger guys.
Agreed. No, I totally agree. Well, I got a question for you. Yeah, I saw something. I read something today where some people around the league feel that Shedeur Sanders may drop to them. Do you think that's possible, that he could drop to them?
I think what you're going to get as you get closer to the draft, you're going to get this pot smoker, undisciplined, coachable, only by his dad. No one else can coach him. And he always blames other people. And this is going to come from the opposing agents of Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, guys like that they're going to be sending intel out, because right now we're getting close. We're 21 days out till tonight for the NFL draft.
Can't wait.
Okay. I mean, so you're going to start getting into the land of, okay, and you're going to do everything you can to try to dismiss this kid. I mean, if his name was Shedeur James, nobody would know anything about him and nobody would care. They would base him on his merits. But because he's Deion Sanders' kid, I don't think it's helping him in this process. I think it's actually hurting him.
Do you think he's a quarterback, NFL quarterback? Do you think he'll be successful in the next level?
I know. Yeah. I think he's got Jamarcus Russell all over him.
What about Cam Ward?
I see Baker Mayfield.
Wow. It's interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting. Because I look at it like for the Giants, right? Not to change the subject, but for the Giants, to me, if they don't come out with a franchise quarterback this draft, they're in big trouble.
I agree. Xander thinks the Giants are gonna take him. I do too.
I think they got no choice. Like, I really think they've trapped themselves into it. I don't know. I would have been more scared of the Cowboys if they would have traded Dak Prescott to Cleveland. I'm being honest for the future because they don't scare me right now. And to me, they need – I think they should be trying to get Jeunty. That, like, if I was them, that's why I would be trying to get a running back, somebody explosive. They just – they're not explosive. They don't scare me at all.
Yeah, at all. I mean, here – but here's a question about the Giants. If you're the Giants, do you really want Joe Schoen picking another quarterback decision in New York after you bombed on Daniel Jones with the contract and not bringing – now you're landing on Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson to win you ball games, and you want that guy – and I'm not saying you do, but that guy's going to make the decision. I'm starting to think Brian Daboll is overrated. You know why? I just saw Josh Allen win the MVP, and he supposedly was the quarterback whisperer up in Buffalo. Well, that's Joe Brady's done a hell of a job up there with that kid. Yeah. And that guy now has won the MVP award. So, I mean, who the hell is Brian Daboll now and Joe Schoen? Do I want those guys? If Travis Hunter's there, if I'm New York and I'm John Mara, I want Travis Hunter
because I don't think that's what they're going
to
do.
I don't trust those guys to pick the quarterback.
See, but that's what they're going to do. And that's, to me, the trap that they've put themselves in. You go out and you get Russell Wilson. Now you're drafted players to win games this year. Well, you go out and you have Russell Wilson play. I think Russell Wilson, I don't think he's what he was, but I don't think he's bad. I think you could win 6 or 7 games. Now you're not picking high enough to get a franchise quarterback. So you're really setting the rebuild process off years for only a few games because a GM is trying to keep his job. They should have fired him and started over. To me, that's the biggest problem the Giants had. To me, it was a huge mistake to not fire that GM.
Do you like Sanders?
Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, Xander likes him.
I'm back and forth. I'm back and forth. I see him sometimes in college, and I think, he could play. And then I think, my feeling is, my gut feeling is that he's not going to be as good as they think he's going to be, or some people think he's going to be.
Here's what he did in college.
But I do like Cam Ward, though.
I like his pocket presence. I do. I mean, and I like his journey where he went through all those schools. He wasn't recruited at all. Then he ended up becoming the number one pick in the draft now. And I like the whole journey thing. It reminds me of Jaden Daniels a little bit. Jaden went to Arizona State, had a transfer go to LSU. So it kind of reminds me a little bit of that. Here's Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders in his time in Colorado in 2 years never beat a top 25 team in the entire time he was at Colorado. Right. What's the significant moment? Now, to what people would say is, Sills, what were they prior to Shedeur Sanders showing up in Colorado and Boulder? I would say, is that more on Shedeur or is that more on Deion?
More on Deion.
Okay, I mean, so Deion went to Jackson State. Now, I know that Shedeur followed him, and so did Travis Hunter. I mean, so did a lot of players, Joe Horn's kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also say this, the one thing that I watch him do, because he knows how to get paid. You know how he gets paid? Quarterbacks in this league get paid on statistics. What's the one thing he was terrible at? He was terrible. If you have an O-line that's horrible, you throw the ball away. What does that do, though? It lowers your completion percentage. So he'd rather take sacks, put his team in field position that are terrible, take those sacks to throw the ball away so his numbers could look better on draft day. That's how I look at him. He didn't sacrifice his game because the father had carved out a perfect life at Jackson State in Colorado. Well, if he goes to New York or he goes to another shitty team like Tennessee, they're not carving out they're not carving out the perfect utopia for him. You're going to have to go in there and change it like Joe Burrow. Is that guy capable of doing that? Joe Burrow went to LSU, won a national title.
Right.
Okay? After getting kicked out of Ohio State, Jaden Daniels went to LSU, won the Heisman Trophy. Who's this guy?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know.
I mean, that's how I see him.
Yeah, now, I kind of agree.
He's still going to go number one. I think he's still going to go in the first round, though.
Yeah. You know?
I do. Last one here.
Oh, I definitely think so.
Last one here for you. How high are they going to go in the draft to replace Goddard?
I think as early as the second round. I think as early as second. I don't think, I think if Tyler Warren was there, they would take him, but he's not. He's going to be gone like, what, top 10? So
10 or 12,
to me, I don't think they draft a tight end in the first round if unless it's him and he's going to be gone. I think second or third round is where they would pull the trigger.
It's kind of deep at that position in this draft. There's kind of players, the kid from Miami, maybe the kid from Bowling Green, who I think is a little undersized. There's a couple of kids, a kid from Texas isn't bad. Yeah. That lovely kid might fall down. I don't know how far. I don't see him take – you don't see him using the number one pick, though, for tight end.
I don't. I guess anything's possible. The only way I would see it is if somehow Warren fell to, like, 22. If he fell somewhere around there, maybe. But other than that, I don't see it. And I don't think that's going to happen either. So,
Billy, these next 3 weeks, you're going to be on fire on your network. Make sure you check him out. Are you going to live stream the draft?
The whole thing, every second of it. I'll be live for every second of the draft. So it should be fun.
Absolutely best guys there is in Philly covering the Eagles. Brother, we appreciate you.
Thank you, my man, for spending time with me, man.
Thank you again. Catch you next week, my friend. Thank you so much.
Peace.
Our friend, Philly 500, make sure you guys check him out. Yeah, we gave our friend Mark Holmes, who's dealing with some stuff. We'll do it next week with him. Guys, don't forget my great friends at Morgan & Morgan, the number one injury law firm in America, with over $20 billion recovered for their clients. When people go to Morgan & Morgan, be rest assured, you are going to not have to settle for what the insurance companies come in with their initial offers. Told you about the family right here in PA, $650K they were initially offered for a resolution on a case. No way. They got $26 million. That's right. $26 million down in Florida. A family was offered initially by an insurance company, $350K. Not happening. They got $12 million for that family, battling the insurance companies with thousands of attorneys that they have. Look, this will be the easiest decision that you ever make. Do me a favor, guys. Please, at the end of the day, this is going to be a decision that will be the easiest for you. For more info, check out my friends at forthepeople.com/bigsales. Or poundlaw529. That's forthepeople.com/bigsales or poundlaw529. And do me a favor, you tell them Big Sales sent you.